Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Matthew chapter number 28, look with me in verse number 5. The Bible said this, "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Pay attention to verse number 6. "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Boy, I like verse 6. "He is not here, for he is risen." I want to talk to you about this thought. Four things the empty tomb declares today. Because there is an empty tomb, there's some things that declares today. I want to give that to you. Father, help us today. God, you know the need of the service. And I pray, God, that your divine will would be done as we preach today. God, thank you, Lord, for the singing this morning. God, thank you, Lord, for the meal. Thank you, God, for the preaching thus far. And I pray, God, that you'd continue to help us today. Save that sinner that would be closest to hell. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Easter is not just some holiday that we celebrate. Whenever we think about Easter today, Easter is the very foundation of our faith. Matter of fact, when it comes to Christianity today, Easter is what separates us from all other religions today. There's a lot of other religions today that serves what they call a god, but most of their gods, if they did live, they are dead now, and they will remain dead. But what separates us from all other religions is that we don't serve a Savior that is dead today, but we serve a Savior that is alive and well, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on our behalf. Without the resurrection, there'd be no hope. There'd be no salvation. There'd be no future. But because of Easter this morning, everything has changed. The stone was rolled away. The grave was emptied. Death was defeated. And Jesus walked out alive and well at 1:30 in glorious morning. Amen. Because of the resurrection and because of the empty tomb, I believe there is some things that is being declared that I want to look at. I'll show you four things and we'll go home. Number one, watch this. Because of the resurrection, it declares his person is confirmed. Who he really said he was, that's who he was. Can I just say that again? That person that he said he really was, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ confirms that he is who he said he was. The resurrection didn't make Jesus the Son of God. Jesus was already the Son of God. But the resurrection confirmed that Jesus is the Son of God. I thought about this verse, Romans chapter number 1, verse number 4, "and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead." Anybody can make a claim. Anybody can say something. But Jesus just didn't make a claim that if you put him down in 3 days that he would get up again. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus done. They put him down, but thank God, 3 days later, he got up again. Before this ever happened, though, when you study the Bible, long before Jesus ever come on the scene, there was those Old Testament prophets. And you know what they did? They prophesied. They said there's coming a day that a man's going to come on the scene. They're going to call him Jesus. And let me tell you what the resurrection does. It proves his identity. Watch this. Let's just think about it. Those Old Testament prophets, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse number 22. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. What about this? They prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel. Well, listen to what the Bible said in Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, what about this? Psalms 22 said, they pierced my hands and my feet. Let's go to John 20. Here's what the Bible said in John 20, then saith he to Thomas, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Well, Psalm said this in Psalm 16, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer mine holy one to see corruption. Here's what he said in Acts, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this to you this morning. He really is who he said he was. He really is who he said he was. You say, well, what proves that? Here's what proves that. The Bible proves that, number one. But the resurrection of the Lord proves that his identity was, his person was confirmed. Now, I'll say this to you today. It wasn't just any old person. Amen. There had been multitudes of others that had been placed in a tomb. Oh, but this one was different. Why? Because he was God incarnated into man. If God says everything I said about my son is true, then can I just say this to you? It is. Jesus is just not a teacher. He's just not a prophet. But Jesus was God in the flesh. And the resurrection proves the person confirmed. Not only does the empty tomb declare that, but I would say this. The empty tomb, number two, declares his power displayed. His power was displayed. I thought about this. The resurrection is just not about who he is. It's about what he can do. It's just not about who he is. It's what he can do. Can I just say this? He done something you can't do. You say, what's that? He got up out the grave. Are you with me? His power is on display. John 11, verse number 25 said this, I am the resurrection and the life. When Jesus walked out of the grave, he proved that he had power over death, that he had power over hell, and that he had power over the grave. But here's where it gets personal. Know what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespassings of sin. And you had to quicken. We weren't just struggling. We wasn't just weak. Hear me. We was dead. We was dead. You know what your soul is today? If you're not saved, it's dead. But let me tell you what the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ does. Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is alive. And he that is alive can bring life to you today. It's his power displayed. It's his power displayed. I thought about this, the same Jesus, or the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that can make you alive. The Bible said this, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together at the resurrection. There was a victory shout in 1 Corinthians 15, because he said this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He goes on to say, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why can we have victory today? Why can we be set free today? Why can we be liberated today? Because of the resurrection. It's his power displayed. because he lives, dead hearts can live again. Broken lives can be restored again. Lost souls can be saved. Why? Because he lives. The resurrection, I told you I wasn't going to preach long this morning. The resurrection, the empty tomb declares that the person is confirmed. It really is God. It's his power displayed. He had power to do what he said he was going to do. He just didn't say he was going to do it. He did it. Note this, number three, and here's really where I wanted to get to for just a minute. His person was confirmed. His power was displayed. But I want you to see this. His prisoners were delivered. His prisoners, because he arose, he was no longer bound to those grave clothes. Can I say it that way? What once had him bound, no longer had him bound. I said this a while ago. I said this. He can liberate us. That word liberation, it simply means this. It means being set free from bondage, oppression, or captivity. Now, I want you to hear what I'm going to say to you this morning. Because of the resurrection, prisoners can be delivered. You know what sin does? It holds you in prison today. Can I take it a step further? You know what bitterness does? It holds you in prison today. You know what anger does? It holds you in prison today. You know what society will do? It'll hold you in prison today. You know what? There's a lot of good people that started out living a good life and got messed up on different things of this world and the drugs of this world. And can I say it's more than just something that you pop in your mouth or something you smoke or something you snort or something you drink. I'm telling you, it goes way beyond that. We don't hear preaching on pornography anymore. We don't hear preaching on things like that. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil will take those things and he'll have you in bondage over it. He'll have you in bondage. And here's the thing. If you're serving a God that's dead, there ain't nothing he can do about it. You said, that's not good English, but you understood it. There ain't nothing he can do about it. Why? Because he's dead. He's dead. I think about both of my grandpas today, and I love both of them. One of them was an old-time mountain preacher, pastored two or three churches at the same time in the hills of Wilkes in Allegheny County. One of them was a businessman. Both of them was good men, loved the Lord. Both of them taught me a lot of things in life. But if I needed something today, if I was bound by something, if something was troubling me today, I wouldn't go to them. Let me tell you the reason why. They're in a graveyard, and there's not a thing that they can do about it. I want you to hear me. Whatever it is that has you bound today, quit running to all the other dead gods and everything that's not going to help you. I serve a God today that's alive and well. And whatever it is that has you bound, he can free you from that. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He can liberate you. He can set you free. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this. It said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I want you to think about those grave clothes for just a minute. John chapter number 20. He said this, the linen clothes lie and the napkin wrapped together in the place by itself. When Jesus arose from the grave, stay with me, he left the grave clothes behind. Now, I want you to think about another time that we see grave clothes in the Bible. When Lazarus came up out of the grave, he was still bound in John chapter number 11, verse 44. But when Jesus came out, he was completely free. That means this, sin doesn't have to control you. Addiction doesn't have to hold you. Your past doesn't have to define you. Because the Bible said this in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I'm telling you today, those things that have you bound, what did Jesus say to him? He said, loose him and let him go. I'm telling you today, there's a God that will loose you. There's a God that will let you go. Whatever it is that has you bound, thank God, because he lives. He can. I was thinking about this. And I'll give you this last point and we'll go home. I was thinking about this. I was listening to them sing. And every bit of the singing this morning
My goodness, was on point. Matt told me for a loop, but Matt told me for a loop there on that last song. I didn't know that they was going into what a day that'll be. And I was speaking with some of the ladies up here a while ago, and I said, did y'all practice that? We can't be doing stuff we don't practice around here. And some of y'all will get that in a little while. It's all right when the Lord starts leading, go with it. Somebody say amen. Man, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost got to settling in. I don't know if anybody else felt it. You say, well, I'm not saved on feelings. Well, God bless you. I'm not either, but it sure do feel good to be saved. Son, that Holy Ghost got to settling in. And then them ladies got to singing. And I'm going to tell you something. When them girls got to singing, he's coming back. There's something inside of me said, that's right. That's right. You say, yeah, I saw you, preacher. Well, I'll ask you something. Was there a time in your life that you'd have been the same way? Boy, it got quiet right then, didn't it? Was there that time in your life that you'd have been the same way? That when the Holy Ghost moved, you would have raised your hand? Oh, but preacher, everybody said, they already saw you. You know, I picked on Victoria's coaches this year. They're good Christian ladies that go to Freedom Baptist Church. And good people, good people. And I told them, and they get fired up at games. And I'd look at them and say, Brother John, they'd see you acting like that on Sunday morning at church too. And they'd hold their head down. But the truth of the matter is this. The only place we worry about it is when we come to church. We have this mindset we've got to be, bless me if you can. Man, why don't you just understand that the good God of glory has liberated you if you're saved? He has set you free. Now, if you are saved, there was that time in your life where you did raise that hand and say amen, and you hadn't in a long time, I want to ask you something. What is it that's got you bound down now? Because whatever it is, because he's alive, I'm telling you what he'll do to you today. He'll set you free. It's not a second work of grace. Somebody say amen right there. It's not getting saved all over again. But according to Peter, we can come to that place where we have forgotten where he has brought us from. And that's the reason he said in the first part of that, he said, I think of me as long as I'm this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Maybe we just need to let our mind walk back down memory lane this morning. Morning to where he found us at, in our lost condition, on the road headed for hell. Oh, but he came to us when we couldn't go to him. Why? Because he was alive and I was dead. And he spoke life to a troubled heart that night. Oh, yes. I think about this because of the resurrection. There's his prisoners delivered because he lives. I thought about this, chains can fall. Because he lives, habits can break. Because he lives, lives can be changed. It's all in the power of the name of Jesus. It's all in, man, Brother Elijah done wonderful talking about that this morning. What God can do for you. Let me give you this number four and I'm done. The empty tomb declares his person confirmed, his power displayed, his prisoners delivered. But number four, his promise declared. His promise declared. Easter didn't just change the past. And it did change the course of history. Amen. Changed the course of history. But Easter just didn't change the past. Tell you what Easter done? Easter, hear me, secured the future. Thank God for everything he can do right now and everything he done yesterday. But let me tell you what Easter done. It secured the future. It secured the next chapter. It secured chapter number 5 of the book of Revelation. Amen. Chapter number 4 rolls out, and guess what happens in chapter number 5? Thank God we're getting out of here. Oh, yes. It secured the future. After the resurrection, Jesus stayed 40 days. Then he ascended back into the heavens. But before he left, he made this promise in John 14. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," you know what he said? He said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You want me to tell you the reason Jesus could make that promise to us today? You want me to tell you the reason he could say, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You want me to tell you the reason that he could ascend back into the heavens? Here's the reason why. Because he got up one third in glorious morning. You want me to tell you the reason that the Holy Ghost came down to dwell with us as a comforter after the ascension of Christ? It's all because he got up. He got up. There's the promise. There's the reminder. He said this in Acts chapter number 1. He said, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go to heaven." There's the hope. Listen to what he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. He said, "Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." Because he lives, the world is not the end. The grave is not the end. The death is not the end. Thank God, if you're a child of God today, there is more to come. The songwriter said it this way, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Why? Here's the reason why. Jesus got up. That's why. I would say this as Miss Tanya makes her way to the piano this morning. Because he lives, and he does. Because he lives, his person is confirmed. His power is displayed. His prisoners are delivered. His promises declared. The resurrection demands, though, this morning, a response. It demands a you're gonna respond to what you've heard preached today. It declares a response. The Bible said this in Romans chapter number 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, listen to what he said, thou shalt be saved. Now, I got good news this morning. No matter what it is that may have you bound, there's a God that can set you free today. You don't have to leave bound up today. There's a God that can set you free. The tomb is empty. The throne is occupied. And here's the invitation that comes from the throne still to this day. Come unto me, all that are of a heavy laden, he says. He says this. He says, if any man thirst, what did he say? Let him come take of the water of life freely. What's he saying? He's saying it to everybody. Salvation is not just for a few today. Salvation is for everybody. I'm not liberated today because I came to church. I grew up in church. Church is all I've ever known. My dad pastored my whole life growing up to after Leslie and I got married. My dad pastored. I grew up in church. It's all I know. It's all I know. Some people are scared to death of a cemetery. I played in one because I lived beside one. We used to, years ago, when they'd dig a grave, they'd dig it the day before, and they'd take a piece of plywood and put over top of it, keep people from falling in it. Me and Justin Shore used to go to the graveyard and get us a big long stick, need one at least 6 feet long. Some of y'all will get that in a little while. We'd slide that piece of plywood out of the way. I know y'all can't believe I'd do anything like this. We'd jump off in that grave and take that stick and slide that piece of plywood back over Brother Lloyd. And we'd leave us a crack about that big. And when them gray-haired saints that you thought was saints come to visit the dead, and they heard, "Hey, somebody let me out of here." I've heard some of them say things that they needed to go to the altar for on Sunday, and they didn't go. Why did I know? Because I'm a preacher's kid, and I don't close my eyes in the invitation. But I'm going to tell you something. Because I went to church my whole life, that's not the reason I'm liberated today. It's not the reason I'm set free today. Because I stood up here today and preached is not the reason I'm set free today. Because I preach again Wednesday night. It's not the reason I'm set free today. Because we'll host a preacher's meeting and have 30 or 40 different preachers in here on Friday and Saturday trying to help them in the ministry. That's not the reason I'm going to heaven. Because I preach next Sunday. Because I go to Georgia and Bryson City after that. That's not the reason why. The reason I'm going to heaven is this. The reason I'm liberated is this. There's a day I realized I was lost. I realized I was lost. 16 years old, sitting halfway back at Turner's Creek Baptist Church on the left-hand side. And God showed me that I was going to die and go to hell. I'll never forget that night. God showed me I was going to die and go to hell. And I got up and I made my way out. I went out the side door and I went to the adult men's prayer room. And one of my school teachers was in the adult men's prayer room praying that God would save me. And I went through the door. I heard him praying that God would save me. And I said, well, here I am. That's another one of them. I hope he don't pray that I die in the morning. I said, here I am. And I'll never forget, I knelt underneath the thermostat in the adult men's prayer room on a metal fold-up chair and told God I was sorry that I was a sinner and I didn't want to die and go to hell. I can't listen to what I'm fixing to say. I can't tell you every word that I said that night. Do you hear what I just said? I can't tell you every word that I said that night. I remember something like this. I remember, Brother Lloyd, I told the Lord, I said, I want to go to hell. And if you'll save me, I sure would appreciate it. And let me tell you something. It wasn't no thunderbolts went off inside of me. The lights didn't change colors. But there was something deep down inside that said, it's all right. It's all right. I'll never forget, I came out, and my daddy was standing up on the platform. I was scared to death to go talk to my daddy. Let me tell you the reason why I didn't want to disappoint him. I walked up to my daddy, I was 16 years old, and I grabbed him. I said, Daddy, I just got saved back there. You know what my daddy said? Well, hallelujah. Daddy never looked down at me. Daddy said, hallelujah. Me and Mama's been praying for you. You want me to tell you the reason I'm going to heaven today? It's because that night I realized I was lost and on the road to hell. And there was a Jesus that loved me and gave himself for me. And I put my faith in him. And that, friend, that alone's the reason I'm going to heaven today. It's all because of him. Our righteousness is his filthy rags. We fail him every day. Oh, but I sure am glad that we serve a God that's alive and it's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he said this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgive us. When I go back to him, I sure am glad that he's always standing there waiting on me. He's always willing to forgive me. And let me just say this, and we're going home. He's forgiven me before I even asked for it. I stumped a lot of people's theology right there. He forgave me on Calvary. He forgave me some 2,000 years ago when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And because of the resurrection today, I'm telling you, it's what separates us. Buddha's not being celebrated today. The Muslims are not celebrating today. The Catholics are not celebrating today. But thank God, it don't have nothing to do with being a Baptist. It has to do with being a Bible believer. That's what it has to do with. Thank God my Savior's alive and well today. And whatever the need is in your life today, it don't matter how big, it don't matter how bad, it don't matter how small or how little. Because of the resurrection, he stands willing and ready to help if we'll just let him.